Well, let's take our Bibles and open together, please, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and as you open there, let me just say, praise God for the Psalms. I really hope that you're enjoying going through them week after week, one after another. Certainly, the Psalms are one of my most favorite books in all the Bible. Usually, my favorite book is the one that I'm preaching through, but Psalms, for sure, are a favorite. And if you think about the Psalms, you know, for one thing, they're very emotional. A lot of tears in the book of Psalms. They're also very theological. A lot of very important biblical truths in the Psalms, but they are also very, very practical. A lot of teaching in the Psalms is wisdom literature, teaching us how to live in such a way that we would glorify God and that we would spread the gospel. And today's Psalm is all of those things. This one is emotional. This one is theological, and this one is very, very practical. Psalm 37, I hope you'll look at it with me. I hope you'll put aside everything else for the time. And I'm going to read, it's a long one, I'm going to read to begin with just the first 8 verses, okay? Psalm 37, to begin with just verses 1 to 8. A Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. David was writing here to his fellow saints. You could even say he was like a shepherd or like a pastor writing to his flock. And he was writing to them about the wicked. About the wicked. Back to verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious because of the workers of iniquity. In verse 7, he calls them singular. Him who prospers in his way and the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And as you go on through the remaining verses in this 40-verse psalm, you find that he is writing to the saints about the wicked. And he is saying to them, in essence, there's something I don't want you to do in response to the wicked. And it's something that apparently they were doing, because he goes at great lengths to tell them, don't do this. So they probably were doing it. What is it that they were not to be doing because of evildoers? Don't fret. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. The Spirit of God is saying here, do not fret because of evildoers. Why? Verse 8. Because that only causes harm, and some of your Bibles say that only leads to evil. So a key question to start with is, what exactly is it to fret? It's probably not what you think. Most people think to fret is to become worried and anxious. That is not the word here. And some people think to fret means to become frightened or fearful. That is not the word here. The word here is the word for burning with anger. Do not burn with anger because of the evildoers. Now, this word is used of God burning with anger, and God can burn with anger, and He does burn with anger, but you're not God, and I'm not God. God, who is God, is telling us through His servant David, stop your burning with anger at the evildoers. Stop it. Don't do it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the wicked prosper? Have you ever seen people who propagate immorality get away with propagating immorality? Have you ever seen someone who has wicked schemes get their wicked schemes to pass Congress? Well, get them to pass, period. Can you imagine living in a society where evil people are doing evil things and they're actually getting away with it? And as a result, evil is spreading and your nation's going down the toilet? Could you imagine? Does it ever make you angry? How would it make you feel if you're out on the playground and somebody else is being bad? I mean, how did it make you feel as kids? It makes you mad. Dad, he's throwing rocks. I know he is. But he's throwing rocks at me. I know he is. And eventually it's, I'm going to throw rocks back because you're not dealing with this, Dad, or something, or Mom. Well, the truth of this psalm, Psalm 37, the overriding truth of this psalm, make sure you don't miss it and make sure you don't throw rocks at me for saying it. For us to fret because of evildoers, for us to burn with anger because of evildoers is evil. Did you hear that? For us to burn with anger because of evildoers is evil. We become like them when we do that because we reject what our Lord tells us to do here and elsewhere. And the reason this is so wrong is because, again, if you look at verse 8, is because it only causes harm. That's one translation. Another translation is it only leads to evil. It's probably the second one. But the first one, it only causes harm. That is certainly true. It doesn't do you any good to burn with anger because of evildoers. And it doesn't do your marriage any good, or your children any good, or your workplace any good, or your church any good, or your pastor any good, or your reputation, or your testimony, or the gospel. It only causes harm to all those things I just mentioned if we're constantly burning up with anger because of evildoers. And that may be the translation here. But I think, having studied this, it is more likely, do not fret. It's literally, do not fret, only evil. Only evil comes from this. And that's true too. It only leads to you having evil thoughts, having evil words, and doing evil things. There are some people who will justify completely violating Romans 13, where it says for us to submit to the authorities. They will completely justify rebelling against the authorities. Why? Because they're doing evil and getting away with it, and I've got to do something. That's evil. That is the wrong response. And that raises two questions which the rest of the psalm answers. The first question is, why? Why is that so wrong? Why is it so wrong for me to burn up with anger because of the prosperity of the wicked? Why is that so wrong? And question number two, well then, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? And the rest of the psalm answers those two questions. So let's walk through it. Verse 1, Psalm 37:1. Do not fret, i.e. do not burn with anger because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. In other words, don't want to be like them, able to do bad things and get away with it. Because you could fall into that. Why? Why? Here we're answering why. Verse 2. For they will soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. How many of you ever cut your grass? Well, you might not like this, but what you're actually doing is you are severing all those little blades from the source of life forever. That's what you're doing. And all those little blades have now been severed from the source of life forever. They will never be revived. They're done for. Well, that imagery is used here of what God is going to do one day with the wicked. They're going to be cut down like so much mowed grass. They're going to be cut off from the source of life and blessing, which is God. They're going to be separated away from God forever. So don't become like them. Don't burn with anger and sin in your reaction to them. Well, what do I do instead? Oh, lots of things to do instead, which are far better. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. And do good. Occupy yourself with doing good. That's a much better use of your time, effort, and energy, and your talent and your treasure. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. You know what that means? Don't move away. Don't move away trying to think that somehow you're going to find this place where the wicked aren't prospering. Because guess what? Where you go, there they are. Right? There, where you go, there they are. So you don't have to move away. I know, you might be thinking, right, we got to leave Pueblo, man. We're going up north. We're going to go to Springs. No, they got legalization up there too. Well, we're going way north. We're going to Cheyenne. Well, coming soon to a theater near Cheyenne. It's coming there too. Well, we're going to go like Canada. Well, then you got the fires. Now, you can't get away from this. Wherever you go, so dwell in the land, stay where you are, and feed on His faithfulness. In other words, feed your mind on God and who He is and what He's like and how He always brings His promises to pass. And He's not going to let this go on forever. Trust God. Let Him deal with them. This is not your deal. You don't need to burn with anger. Isn't that great? There's another thing you could do that's far better than fussing and fuming. And there's something better. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your... And you know what some people say? Or they think, anyways, the way they translate this. Some people think flesh. Delight yourself in the Lord and I'll get a Mercedes. Delight yourself in the Lord and I'll get that beautiful woman I've always wanted as my wife. Delight yourself in the Lord and I'll get a new house, better job. I'll get all that my flesh desires. What do you think are the desires of the heart in this context? How about a desire for a place with no more evil? A desire for peace. A desire for unity. A desire for goodness. How about all those desires? The real desire of the saints in this psalm is just a desire that, oh, I wish there was an end to all this evil. Why can't we all just get along? That's a good desire, right? You know that one. Why can't we all just get along? Well, hang on. Delight yourself in the Lord, which He gives a promise that one day there will be a kingdom in which we all get along. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. These are heart desires, a reference to the innermost desires for joy, peace, calm, life, happiness, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more illness, no more death. This is the right way to respond to all the evil you see in this life. Look at verse 5, Psalm 37:5. Commit your way. You know, that's literally the word to roll. It's used of rolling a giant stone off of the cover of a well or even away from a tomb. Roll your way to the Lord, which was a word picture for casting every burden you have on Him. And we see this in the New Testament, right? Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Cast all your anxieties on Him. That's what this is. It's an expression of trust. Commit or roll all your life, all your burden to the Lord. Entrust everything to Him. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. What will He bring to pass? The desires of your heart. What's He talking about? Next verse. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Now in context, what is your righteousness and your justice? The fact that you trust in the Lord. The fact that you follow Him. That's your righteousness. He's not saying, you know, one day God's going to show what a great life, perfect life you've lived, because none of us have lived a perfect life. What He is saying is, you've done the right thing to trust in the Lord and to follow His ways, but now that you've done the right thing by trusting in God and following His ways, don't fume and fuss and be burning with anger at the evildoers and the wicked. You need to entrust that to the Lord and trust that one day you will be shown to have been right to submit yourself to God. That's going to come out, that you were doing the right thing, following in His ways. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And rest is partly the opposite of fretting. This fretting has the idea of you are so irritated, it's just, you'd say, this burns me up. I am incensed. And you know what? Some people, you're like, that guy's super fired up about what he read in the paper today. Well, that's not good. And I know it's hard to avoid this. This is very practical. This hits us where we live. Because you go a page or two into the chieftain, or you hear the latest news thing. You know, sometimes you come home, and your husband or your wife says, oh, did you hear the latest? Guess what happened now? Oh, great. And now you're angry. This one says, no, you know what? There's a better response. Rest, verse 7, in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who is prospering in his way, because of the man who is bringing wicked schemes to pass. But he's bringing wicked schemes to pass. I know. Well, but he's prospering. I know. Rest, my friend and Lord. Wait patiently for him. Verse 8, cease from your anger and forsake wrath. You can see, fret is anger and wrath. Don't fret. Don't burn with anger. It only causes harm. Again, you're not doing any good by burning with anger. It's just not doing anyone any good. It's not even good for you. So why must you do what the Lord says? Why must you listen to this and take it very seriously that if, in fact, you have been guilty of burning with anger because of evildoers, why must you today actually confess that as a sin to God and forsake it? Why is this so serious? You know why? Verse 9. Because evildoers are going to be cut off. Guess what you become if all you do is ignore what God says and burn up with anger because of evildoers? You're an evildoer. That's the threat here. This is like, hey, I'm serious. You need to cease. That's why he repeats it three times in verse 8. Stop your being angry. Forsake this being wrathful. Stop your fretting. It only causes harm. I'm telling you, evildoers are going to be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Remember what wait on the Lord means from Psalm 27? It doesn't mean wait around. It means while you're waiting for the Lord to come and deliver you from this present evil age, you are occupying yourself with what you know pleases Him, because you know He's coming soon. That's what wait means. They shall inherit the earth. Well, when's this going to happen? When? Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. When? A little while. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Should we break out? It's true. Yet a little while. The writer of Hebrews repeats this in Hebrews 10. Yet a little while. It won't be long now. What you need is endurance. You need to endure in submitting yourself to the Lord. You need to be patient here. Yet a little while. And what's going to happen? The wicked will be no more. Spurgeon says his house is going to be empty. His office is going to be vacant. And there will be no one in his former chair. He's not there. But the meek, verse 11... Now, who's that? Notice verse 11. But the meek. That is the word for humble, which is used in Numbers 12:3, when it says, Moses was very humble. How humble? More humble than any man on the face of the earth. This is the word for being humble. And here, the idea is to humbly submit to the Lord. And here, to be very specific, it means to not fret. To not become angry because of evildoers, but to trust in the Lord and do good and feed on His faithfulness and keep living in that land and just keep serving Him and rest and wait. Be calm. The humble will inherit the earth. That should sound familiar to you. Jesus began in Matthew 5:5, began His Sermon on the Mount with, blessed are the meek. And we learned last time when we looked at 1 Peter 3, that there is a beauty that's precious in God's sight, the beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, the spirit is that is non-rebellious towards God and really wants to do what pleases Him. The meek, verse 11, shall inherit the earth. And notice, verse 11b, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, which is the word shalom. And Jewish people would be quick to tell you that peace is not just there's no more war. Peace is all around calm and well-being inside and out. Inner tranquility, Peace is like their one word expression for the kingdom. Oh, kingdom of peace. No more anxiety, no more fears, no more concerns, no more worries. It would be the elimination of sickness. It would be the elimination of fights and conflicts and anxieties and fears. And the meek, the humble, will delight themselves in an abundance of that life. How abundant? Eternal. Eternal peace. Eternal life. Until then, verse 12, until then we have to put up with this. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. But the Lord, verse 13, laughs at him. Because the Lord sees that his day is coming. What day? Well, keep reading. Verse 14. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay those who are of upright conduct. You know why that is, right? You know why it is that they amass weapons against us, against those who trust in the Lord? Because we are an obstacle. We stand in the way of them propagating their immorality, their injustice, their ungodliness. They would have it that all the laws be made so that we are outlaws. Okay? And if you're going to stand up for truth and what's right and what's good and what's pure, and you're going to stand against immorality and impurity and injustice, guess what? You are now the enemy. And they see it that way. And therefore, they take up arms to eliminate you. But what's going to happen? Verse 15. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. In other words, all those who are set on destroying the righteous are unknowingly set on destroying themselves. Why? Because to whom belongs the righteous? To the Lord. They are set on destroying the children of God, so God is set on destroying them. But not right away. And that's good news, because guess what? Some of us would have been destroyed long ago had God not been patient with us. Therefore, verse 16, a little that a righteous man has, and a righteous man may have little. You know, someone said to me, you know who's going to be in office next? And I said, yes, I know who's going to be in office next. You know what's going to happen to your savings? Yes, I have an idea. Yeah, you could be poorer because somebody evil comes to power. That could happen. But you know what? A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Why? Verse 17. Because the arms of the wicked are going to be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. So if you could be righteous and have $1, or if you could be wicked and have $1 billion, which is richer? I'd take the dollar any day. If I could have a dollar and the Lord, I'll take that over billions and ungodliness. Why? Come into the house of God and learn their end. That's not riches, that's poverty. The rich are headed for poverty. I don't mean people who have a lot of money. I mean the wicked rich being talked about here are headed for the worst form of poverty. They will be without the Lord. Verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright. What do you think He knows about the days of the upright? Job said in Job 14:1, I think, that few and full of trouble are the days of men. That's all of us. But so it is with the righteous. Few and full of trouble. Well, the Lord knows. It's like saying, look, I know what you're dealing with. I know what's going on. I know the days of my own. But their inheritance will be forever. You've got to look forward to what's coming. Their inheritance will be forever. So don't focus so much on what's here and now. Wise investors bank everything on God. Wise investors put all their marbles in one basket. The God basket. Just as I read from 1 Peter 1:13, rest all your hope. Not three quarters, not 99.9%. Rest all your hope. So the wisest spiritual investors will invest everything they have into the Lord. Doing what's His will, knowing Him, following Him. Why? Because there's an inheritance that is forever. And those who do that will never be put to shame. Verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they will be satisfied. That means God will never forsake His own. The righteous will never be forsaken. But what about the wicked? Verse 20, but the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. Again, a comparison to nature. The splendor of the meadows is short-lived. Take a hike in the mountains, and it's a pretty brief period of time when you can see all the flowers blooming up there. And you come out a couple weeks later, and it's gone. And you say, boy, it looked so good. But it was so short-lived. That's the way it is with the life of the wicked. It can look really good, but it's very short-lived. Don't be envious of what they have, because you certainly don't want to be envious of what they'll get. Now notice verse 21. The wicked borrows and does not repay. By the way, this is all an answer to the question why. Why is it God says, don't become angry because of the evildoers? This is all answering why. Because they're going to be cut off, but the meek will inherit the earth. Because they're going to face judgment, but the righteous won't. But here in verse 21, he's showing us a difference between the wicked and the righteous. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. Now this is almost like, if you had to go through 40 verses and say which one of these seems not to belong, it's almost like this one. Why does he all of a sudden talk about how they deal with money? Part of the reason is that you would understand there is a difference between the wicked and the righteous. One basic difference is in how they view earthly possessions. The wicked borrows and does not repay. And this is true both of wicked individuals who may borrow and not repay. It's also true of wicked nations who borrow and borrow and borrow and never repay. Why do you think they do that? One possible reason is they never intended to repay. That's why they don't repay. They never intended to. They just wanted to borrow the money. Another reason is that there's no end to their wicked schemes. And to get all their wicked schemes put into action takes more money. We need more money to do this, to buy more people, to get more slaves, to do more of what we want them to do. All kinds of reasons. But also because they just think they can get away with it. They don't repay because they can not repay. So, and they think they're going to get away with it forever. The righteous is so far opposite of that. Look at the righteous, verse 21. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. This is actually taking the little that he or she has. And, oh my goodness, you're in need? Oh, we can help you. That's way opposite than borrowing and not repaying. For the right, and why do you think the righteous do that? Because that's the way of their Lord. Right? They learn from the Lord that His will for us is to give and to help and to show mercy to others. And they're waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is, I'm occupying myself with what I know pleases Him until the day that He comes. Verse 22 also explains why the righteous do what they do. For those blessed by Him, they'll inherit the earth. They got nothing to lose, right? If you're among the righteous, you can't lose. You're going to inherit the earth. So what is a few dollars to help somebody out? They show mercy and they give. But those cursed by Him, verse 22, will be cut off. And here's the song that Rich sang this morning. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Now there's, you know, is the first He capitalized or is it not? And there's various translations. Let's take it the way it is here, okay? The steps of, it's literally the steps of a man. From verse 24, you find out that it's a good man. The steps of a man are ordered or established by the Lord. In other words, the Lord establishes the way in which he should walk. And he, it could be the Lord delights in that man's way. It could also be that that good man delights in the way of the Lord. Both would be true. But really, the key is the second part, verse 24. Though he fall, who? The one whose steps have been established by the Lord and the one in whose way the Lord delights, or the one who's delighting in God's way, that person, though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down for one reason. The Lord upholds him with his hand. And as Dan said, great to be handheld by God. Great to have the Lord holding your hand. These are all reasons given for why you should cease being angry because of evildoers. Look what you have. You've got the Lord. You've got His promises. You've got His faithfulness. You've got His strength. You've got Him holding your hand. You've got Him upholding you. You've got an inheritance. Instead of focusing on how they're prospering, you should be focusing on how God's blessing you. Verse 25. And a lot of us can say this with David. I've been young, but now I'm old. Just happened this past week. I was young, but not anymore. Now I'm old, and a lot of us could say what he says. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now, homework, you might tax your memory and think, have I ever seen someone that I knew for sure, truly a godly man, a godly woman, and I actually saw their children begging for bread? You can. I worked through my memory on that. I've never seen this either. Okay, and Dave's just saying I've never observed this. I've been young and now I'm old. I've never observed this case where the righteous who truly trusted the Lord were completely forsaken by God, and his descendants were left begging bread. And then he supports that with this theological: he is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed, which could be of the righteous man. It could be of the Lord, and some take it either way. Hard to say. Could be that this good man is ever merciful to others, and I think that fits with what it says up in verse 21. The righteous man is ever merciful. The righteous man is ever lending to others, and his seed is blessed. Could be the Lord is ever merciful and providing for the needs of the righteous, and the seed of the Lord is forever blessed. So, why is this here? So that you would not keep burning with anger because of evildoers. That's why. What are we supposed to do? 27 to 33 again goes through another round of what you're to do and why. Verses 34 to 36, another round of what to do and why. 37 to 40, another round of what to do and why. I'm just going to read it. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Why? Because the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Here's another distinction between the righteous and the wicked, and it's how they use their mouth. Not just how they use their money, but how they use their mouth. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Point being, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't become angry because of evildoers. You don't want to have an end like theirs. Just do what the Lord says. Depart from evil. You busy yourself with doing good and live forevermore. Verses 34 to 36. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he'll exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you'll see it. I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a native green tree, and yet he passed away. And look at this. He was no more. In fact, I sought him, but he couldn't be found. David's testifying, hey, I've seen this before. The guy was super prosperous. You'd think he had it all. His wicked schemes were prospering. But you know what? The day came and he's gone. And I think, I know where he went. He's not with the living. He's gone down to the grave. Verses 37 to 40. Mark the blameless man, observe the upright. Now stop here. How would you mark the blameless man? How could you spot the upright? You know how? He's not fretting because of evildoers. He's not. You're like, how can you not be angry? You know, I'm busy trusting in the Lord, just trying to do good, dwelling in the land, I'm feeding on his faithfulness, I'm waiting patiently for him, I know that God's going to take care of this in due time. You should be angry. You're wrong to not be angry. No, you know what I'm doing? I'm departing from evil. I'm just trying to do good. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm keeping to his way. And here, part of the application, you need to mark somebody like that who is not burning with anger because of evildoers. Why? Why should you mark him out? Verse 37. Because the future of that man is peace. That's right. Mark that guy who has peace today in this world of evil doing and prosperous of the wicked. That's the guy who's going to have peace in the future too. By the way, just stop here and say, who above all is most blameless, most upright? Who above all should you observe? The Lord Jesus. Right? And the Lord Jesus, how far did he go in obedience to the Lord? All the way to the cross. Could he not have, in his wrath against evil, could he not have called down a legion of angels from heaven? Yes, he could have. And he did not. He submitted himself. He went as a sheep to the slaughter. But I'm going like a sheep to the slaughter, says Psalm 44. We're going like sheep to the slaughter, Psalm 44. A complaint psalm. Yeah, that's how the Lord went. Like a sheep to the slaughter. Mark the blameless man, observe the upright. The future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked will be cut off, cut down like grass. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He's their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord will help them and deliver them. He'll deliver them from the wicked and save them for one reason. Because they trust in Him. You know, you could be here this morning and maybe you are someone who, truth be told, you have been burning with anger because of evildoers. I would encourage you as we go to prayer, confess that to the Lord. Cease from your anger. Forsake that lifestyle. And start doing what the Lord says here. Trust the Lord to deal with the wicked in His timing. Could be you're here this morning and you say, by the grace of God, you know what? I haven't been burning with anger at the wicked. Now, yeah, I mean, I see it and I don't like it. But, you know, it just doesn't consume me with anger. You know what? Rejoice. Rejoice. If you are not one who burns with anger because of evildoers, hallelujah. Keep going and learn from the instructions here. But it could be that you're here this morning and you're one of the evildoers. I don't know. I don't see everybody's private life. It could be you are here this morning and you are doing evil and you're getting away with it. You know, there is evidence that God has given that He is about to judge you and people like you if that's you. You know what the evidence is? He has risen His Son from the dead. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but He is now commanding all men everywhere to repent because He has established the day in which He is about to judge the living and the dead, having furnished proof for all. I'm sorry, by the man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all by raising Him from the dead. Very soon, soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to come again. And when He does, that'll be the end of those who do evil and get away with it. So if you're here this morning and you are living an evil life behind the scenes, I beg you this morning, be reconciled to God. Confess that here today. Don't harden your heart, because if you do, I fear God will harden your heart when you leave. And you may never hear the Word of God again. Today is the day for you to be saved if you've come into this house of God without Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank You for His death on the cross for our sins. We thank You for His rising up from the dead, for the justification of all who believe in Him, and for the judgment of those who do not. And Father, help us to obey You. Help us to be humble before You and to walk in Your ways. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.